About this morning, Psalms 12. We were looking at new Bibles and what they say and do. Y'all know the new Bibles are corrupt, and a lot of all the churches today, even Baptists, are going for the new Bibles. The reason why, I don't understand the reason behind it, but they do think it's easier to understand, which is not really not. They have 30,000 changes in the new Bibles. And I think Brother Ken's got over in the bookstore a thing called the Eye Opener. I was looking for one a little while ago. When I'm not looking for something, I find it. But when you know how that is. And then when I'm looking for it, I can't find it. And it's got a bunch of verses in there that's where they show you the changes from the new from the King James Bible to the new Bibles. And the devil's behind the changes, guarantee it. Whenever you have a new Bible, guaranteed the devil's behind that thing. Well, it's a Bible. Well, some people you can get saved out of a new Bible. Don't get me wrong. You can get saved out of it. You can get saved out of a tract. Some of them contain the Word of God, but this is the Word of God. Some of them things contain it. But here, think about it. I was trying to find my Quran. I've got one in my office somewhere. And in the Quran, if you read it, I found whole parts of Isaiah in there. Whole parts of Isaiah in the Quran. See, the devil knows that this is power. The Word of God is powerful. And the Bible tells you the Word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So the devil knows if he takes a little bit of the Word of God and puts it in something else, he'll get a little power to it. Because the Quran has no power at all. And they put Isaiah in there So the Shiites and the Sunnis and all that, and I forgot this morning I was reading, and I forgot that the split between the Sunnis and the Shiites was because the Shiites followed Muhammad's son, Ali. And they followed, that's where the Shiites come in. They've split off, and the Shiites followed Muhammad's son. And Muhammad was, like I said, a two-bit camel jockey, and that was a pervert, and he wrote the Quran, or Qur'an, or whatever it was, and there's a billion people in the world that hold to that thing, and they believe that's the truth, and all it is a bunch of mixed up mess. You know, I've got it, I've read it, and I've read parts of it, and then I came through that, I said, there's Isaiah. So I went over to Isaiah, and I'm looking at the whole chapter of Isaiah. They put in there in the Quran. Now, they believe that Jesus Christ was a prophet. And then you got people always say, how do all these religions get started? Usually it's because people pervert the Word of God. They change the Word of God. And that's where religions get started. But the Methodists got started in a good way. They got started because of John Wesley and Charles Wesley. They were, what were they? They were Church of England, I think. Were they Church of England? And they weren't saved. And they come to America as missionaries and then they end up going as the Church of England, I believe. And then they end up getting saved, and they started preaching the Bible. They started preaching the Bible with power and fire and telling people they're going to need to get saved. Now, John Wesley and Charles Wesley believed you could lose it, though. They believe you could lose your salvation. Most Methodists believe you can lose your salvation. They believe that. The Church of Christ, they believe that you have to be baptized to go to heaven, which... That blows the thief on the cross. He was hanging on the cross, and he said, remember me when thou come to thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And he ended up getting saved there was no water baptism at all. He got saved. And the Lord said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Amen. So, and then you got the Catholic Church. They claim they go all the way back to Simon Peter. And they claim that. But then if you study history, you find out they didn't get started till after Constantine saw this big mirage in the sky. He was smoking something, drinking something, or whatever. And Constantine he asked God for a sign, and he asked for a sign, and he saw a cross. So that's why in the old movies, you see the old English movies of, you know, Richard Lionheart and all that. They see the cross. The English soldiers had the big cross on them. And because Constantine believed that he saw a sign, and God gave him a sign and gave him victory. And so that's the Catholic Church. And that's why when you read the book of Daniel, we'll go, let's read this first. We get ahead of myself. Psalms chapter 12 and verse 6 and 7, and I want you to mark this. God promised to preserve his word. He promised that. And we, as what we believe here, we believe in God's preservation. We believe in God's preservation. We believe God's able to keep his word. If God cannot keep his word, then how do you know you're going to keep his salvation? How do you know he's going to keep you? And the Bible says he can keep us. And he's sealed us to the day of redemption. So when you have all these new Bibles coming out, they're changing the words of God and they're changing up major doctrines. So that's where a lot of, like the Mormons, they started out with the King James Bible, but then they got hit every time they got turned around. They got hit with the people say, well, the Bible says this, the Bible says that. So they came out, they carry a King James Bible. They'll say, oh, yes, we believe the Bible. They'll knock on your door. They'll carry a King James Bible, but they're always shoving the Book of Mormons in your face. They always want you to read the Book of Mormons. They don't want you to read the Bible because the Bible makes individuals. The Bible doesn't make robots. The Bible makes individual people. It makes and people that's seeking God. So, and then you got Jehovah's Witnesses. They couldn't prove their crazy doctrines. They kept getting slammed with the King James Bible. So they came out with the New World Translation. And the New World Translation, they're always shoving the New World Translation in your face, trying to get you to read the New World Translation because it's corrupt. So, and people use this excuse. You know, if you tell somebody in the room something, by the time it gets around the room, it comes back to you, then it'd be something completely different. But people, I say, yeah, that works in a room of human beings. But when it comes to God, when it comes, God said he'll preserve his word and keep his word, then you're taking God out of the equation and saying God can't keep his word. When man, you say, well, how did the word of God get here? God used man. And we'll see that in a minute. But let's go to Psalms 12 and verse 6 and 7. Mark this in your Bible. Talking about preservation. And I want you to notice something here. It says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth. So God, just like your works are going to be tried at the judgment seat of Christ, your works are going to be tried in a fire. God's word's been tried through the fire. And it says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. So I was sitting in the classroom one night, and Doc was going through this thing, and he said, I never could understand it seven times. He said, Brother Gilly, a man that was in his church, came up to him and said, Dr. Upman, he said, that seven times is seven to seven languages the word of God came through. And Doc looked at him and said, wow, that's good stuff. That's good. Brother Gilly, Lord showed Brother Gilly that. And he said, seven languages. So English is the last language. Guess what everybody wants to learn? They want to learn English. Everybody wants to come to America. And he says, purified seven times. He says, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve. Notice that, preserve them from this generation forever. God will preserve his word. You know why? God's not going to have a man stand up in front of him and say, I didn't know you didn't leave your word. I didn't have the answers. I got questions, but I never had the answers. The answer's in the book. And no man's going to be able to stand before God and say, I didn't know. And it said, in the Bible, Jesus said, in Matthew, he said, thy word is settled in heaven. But he puts his word here so you have instructions. Now, look to Timothy. Go over to Timothy. And we'll go back to Daniel here in a second. I want to show you about the Roman church. Timothy. I believe it's Timothy. Let's see. No, that's not it. That's not what I was thinking of, something else. 1 Timothy 3:16, but that's, I'm looking for, I think it's in Holy Men of God Spake as They Were Moved by the Holy Ghost. Is that Peter? Somebody find that? Oh, where is it? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Second Peter, there. I'm looking first. Yeah. 2 Peter 1, verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy, you need to underline this in your Bible. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. So he's saying you can't just take a little verse and try to prove some doctrine from it without the Bible corroborating with itself. The Bible usually gives you another verse, or it corroborates with what you just read. So knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So holy men of God spake, and it was recorded, written down. So what you have is what God was written, what God wrote down and wants you to have. Take your Bible, look in the book of John. John chapter 21. And what the Mormons try to do, they try to use this and say, well, see, the Book of Mormons is an advanced revelation from the King James Bible, or from that time. And they try to use this verse right here. Look in John 21, and it says, verse 24, this is the disciple that testified of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So the Mormon shall say, see, there was other books, if they were going to be written. So the Book of Mormon came along, and we wrote it, and now that's the advanced revelation. And so the King James translators, they didn't put, they had the Textus Receptus, and they put down what God wanted you to have. That's what we have. And so we have everything you need. People said, well, I think there's more. I said, well, if you can handle what you got right here, it would be good. But most people can't handle what they got here to be able to abide by it. Now go to the book of Daniel chapter 2. We're talking about the Catholic Church and Constantine, all that. Jumping around a little bit. Daniel chapter 2, this is a prophecy. This prophecy is being fulfilled right now. This prophecy. No prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. The Bible corroborates with what has been written here. And Daniel chapter 2, it says, Daniel chapter 2, verse 40, the fourth kingdom. Now, Daniel, you all know Daniel has a, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. Daniel tells him his dream and shows him about the different kingdoms. Chapter 3 and 4 is when Nebuchadnezzar, he puts us image up and makes it just like what Daniel interpreted. And he wanted everybody to bow down and worship his image. So that's a good Catholic. He was, you know, but look at verse 40. It says, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, as iron that breaketh off these shall it break in pieces and bruise. Whereas thou sawest the feet of and toes part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. As the toes and the feet were part iron and part clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. That's an interesting verse. Chew on that for a while. Whereas they saw the iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. So all the movies coming out, part Iron Man, part this, got all this mechanical stuff in his body. But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And so he goes on and tells about these kingdoms. And the last kingdom we know was Rome. The last kingdom was Rome. It says it shall be partly broken, but, you know, partly strong. And partly strong, partly broken. So the legs of the image is Rome political, or Rome religious. So you got the Pope walking around over the world, and they claim there's 1 billion Catholics in the world, and they don't believe the Bible. They do not believe the Bible. You never find, if you go to a Catholic church on Sunday morning, you never find anybody walking in with a Bible in their hand. You will not find it. They will not walk in with a Bible. Why? They discourage people from reading the Bible. They don't want you to read the Bible. So whenever people discourage you from reading the Bible, they're trying to bring you into slavery. To slavery to a religion or to a man or something. When you read the Bible, you cannot enslave people that read the Bible and believe the Bible. You might be able to try to forcibly enslave them, but on their own, they will not. That's why it's crazy. You see this political stuff going on in the world, and you see these kids going for socialism, and everybody wants to go for socialism. And that's people that don't read their Bible. And matter of fact, that's people that don't know history. And socialism goes into communism and a world dictator. So the world's preparing itself right now for a world dictator, for this socialism coming in. It's coming up strong. You got socialism in Germany. You got socialism moving in England and Netherlands. You got socialism in Scotland. You got socialism in Ireland. You've got socialism all over, just moving through Europe. And socialism, it sounds good. You know, take from the rich, give to the poor. You wouldn't be Robin Hood. The government could be Robin Hood. And it sounds good, but it's not. So when the Antichrist shows up, that's what he's going to be preaching. You know, everybody's going to have, you're going to have all this. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar or Sennacherib told the children of Israel. And when they came, he said, we'll take you out. You'll have everything. You'll have everything you need. Just all you got to do is surrender. All you got to do is surrender, and we'll give you everything you need. So, but what we're talking about here this morning, we're talking about the Word of God. We believe the King James Bible being the Word of God. Amen. And if you'll read the Bible, you cannot be enslaved by this world if you'll read the Bible. And what happens is when you read the Bible, your eyes get open to things. You start seeing things that God says, this is what's going to happen, that's going to happen, and don't do this. And the Bible gives you wisdom. It gives you understanding. And when you read it and you ask God for wisdom and understanding, he gives it to you through his word. So God's word is the most important thing when it comes to, as a Bible-believing Christian, when it comes to church. If you don't have a Bible, brother, what's the sense? Some churches go through a little catechism. The Catholic Church goes through a catechism. They give you a catechism. The Mormons give you the Book of Mormons. The Jehovah's Witnesses give you the New World Translation. They all try to get you away from this Bible. They hate this book. The devil hates this book. So there's all these changes take place. And the King James translators, when it came to some things in the Bible, whenever they put in words, they added words to make a sentence understandable. I'll show you, for instance, take your Bible, look in 1 Samuel, I think it is. 1 Samuel. Go to 1 Samuel and No. 2 Samuel 21. 2 Samuel 21. They added words for the sentence, and plus all the new Bibles didn't do this, and they make the Bible a contradiction. And they also make Jesus Christ a sinner in the new Bibles. They all do that. Now, 2 Samuel chapter 21, who killed Goliath? David killed Goliath, right? 1 Samuel 17, David killed Goliath, right? So that's what the Bible says. But here, you got the King James Bible gets it right, and it says in 2 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 19, and there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, and where Elnathan, son of Jorjoram, if I got that right, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like unto a weaver's beam. So it says, notice the word slanted. If you got a Bible, it should, the brother. See that? Anybody see that? Yeah. The brother. It's italicized. So the King James translators added that. They added that. Why? Because we all know who killed Goliath. So that would, if it, that wasn't added, they would say, oh, see there, there's a contradiction in the Bible. And God directed those translators to put that in the Word of God. And the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, and the staff of whose spear was like onto a weaver's beam. So you'll find words added to make a sentence make sense. And so, and plus, the Bible tells us, be not angry with thy brother without a cause. Without a cause. That's in Matthew, I believe it is. Jesus said that. He said, be not angry with thy brother without a cause. All the new Bibles take without a cause out. So that makes Jesus Christ, when he got angry, went into the temple and started driving people out. He got angry. They make him a sinner. So it's real slick how the devil does it. The devil knows the Bible better than anybody. He knows it backwards, forwards. He knows it. So he's given these new Bibles. And what happens is now they got these Bibles come out. There's 200 and some translations on the market. Now the new Bibles are neuter. They come out. God's neuter. He's not a female. He's not a male. He's just neuter. And then they've taken all this other stuff that's important doctrine out. So what they're doing, they're preparing a generation. They're preparing a generation to receive the Antichrist when he shows up. All the movies are pushing towards it. Everything's pushing towards to receive the Antichrist. And the devil's, if I was the devil, like I said, I would never change a thing because he's doing a good job at deceiving people. Young people, now, they will kill you over their cell phone. They will kill you over that cell phone. If you take, you parents, try to take a cell phone away from your kids. See what happens. They just go ballistic. Because if they can't have a cell phone, they got to have it. So I believe this. I believe in technology and this cell phone thing. Everybody, the Bible says every man's going to receive the mark of the beast. And it'll be probably through their cell phone. Be able to use it. And then you'll be able to scan your head, buy anything you want. Or your hand. So we all have cell phones. Whoever thought 10 years ago that everybody would have a cell phone? Who would have thought? Man, we had phones with the cords on it, and you had to drag the cord up, and now everybody's got the cell phone. Who would have thought? Now, the technology is advancing so much that anything you want to know, you get it through your cell phone. Anything you want to buy, it's through your cell phone. I'm amazed, man. I'm looking for parts, and then I think, maybe I ought to look at my phone. And I go, and I can find it right there. I go to the parts place. Maybe I don't know what that is. And then I go, man, let me check on the phone, and then boom. It's that quick. But anyway, all right, we believe the Word of God. Now, we went through last week about some of the changes that they've made. And Colossians chapter 1, verse 14 is one of them that they've changed. They've taken whole parts of the verse out. And some of y'all stood up last week and gave us some of that thing. And look at Colossians 1, 14. And see, the devil hates the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you feel, you know, we sing, there's power, wonder-working power in the blood. And when you feel afraid, or whatever, you start saying, Lord God, soak us in the blood. Lord God, I ask you to apply the blood here. And the blood of Jesus Christ, the most powerful thing in all the universe. And it says in Colossians 1:14, you say, what do you mean it's the most powerful? It's more powerful than any atomic bomb. The blood of Jesus Christ can wash away a man's sins that nothing in this world could ever do. You can blow a guy up and still ain't gonna wash away his sin. And verse Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. All the new Bibles take through his blood out. They take it out. All the way through your Bible, I got a new English Standard Version here. And here's the thing. I was going through this, looking at it. This thing has got so many changes. You can't even understand it. I remember when I was in prison, somebody gave me one of these. And I couldn't understand this thing. Couldn't understand it one bit. People say, oh, they made the Bible easier to understand. It ain't easier to understand. The King James Bible is written in fifth grade. I've heard anywhere between fourth and sixth grade English. And it's easy to me. It's easy reading. This stuff is not easy reading. And not at all. Colossians 1:14 right here. It says, if I can see it. in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. No blood. All new Bibles take the blood out. Every one of them. So if you got a new Bible, you've got the devil is designed to try to destroy and get the blood, the deity, the power that's in the book, get it out. So, and then I heard a thing where, even in this one right here, it talks about David, Saul calls his son Jonathan. He said, over in the King James Bible, it says, you're the son of a, perverse and rebellious woman. In this Bible, it calls Jonathan the son of a, you know what? Calls him a son of a blank. Huh? That's what they call you at work. You know, they'll say, you son. And he said, well, it's new modern language. And the Bible, and the King James Bible, it says dung, and here it says something else. So all the new Bibles, they say we're going to make it a little easier to understand, and it's more perverted. It's been perverted. So we believe the King James Bible being the Word of God. And people will say, well, you're in a cult because you believe the Bible. You believe the Scriptures. Go with me to 2 Timothy 3:16. We just saw that. 2 Timothy 3:16. Go there. 2 Timothy 3:16. And we covered this last week where they taken God and they took God out and put he. 2 Timothy 3:16. But here, that was in 1 Timothy 3:16. But look at 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, back up to 15, it says, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. So what they'll tell you, you can't know the scriptures. You cannot know them. They're in the original Greek. But if they always talk about the original Greek, you hear preachers get up and say, well, in the original Greek, this word means this, or this word should have been this. A better rendering, they'll say, a better rendering is this. They always refer to, they try to get you away from this. They say, well, this is kind of archaic. Let's get you over here to new stuff. And they'll take you away from the old archaic King James Bible and try to get you to believe the new stuff. And they'll always refer, why? Because they're trying to make themselves look smart. So you're sitting there as a congregation, you're thinking, oh man, he's so smart. He's just so smart. I tell you what, I could never understand the scriptures. I never understand the Bible. So I'm just going to trust him. Yeah. So when you put your trust in just in a man, just in him, and think he's got the scriptures, then that's just what the Pope wants. That's what all the leaders of these cults want. They want you to put their trust in them. That's what Jim Jones did. I heard that David Koresh would go over and they'd be having the little, had Bibles, and he would take the Bibles. They said, well, the Bible says this, and he'd take the Bible out of their hands, throw it down and said, don't you listen to that Bible. You really listen to me. And then he kicked the Bible. That's what David Koresh did. Don't you read the Bible. You listen to me. And that's what Jim Jones did. Jim Jones, anytime when the Antichrist comes, he'll say, oh, yeah, we believe the Bible, but don't read it. Can you imagine what's going to happen when the rapture takes place and the Antichrist steps on the scene? You know what first thing he's going to do? He's going to get rid of every Bible he possibly can. Burn them. Say, why? Why? Hitler did the same thing. Adolf Hitler burned every Bible he can get his hands on. So any dictator comes along is going to try to get rid of this book. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. If you don't consider this book important in your life, this King James Bible, then my Lord, I can tell what kind of Christian you are. Go to 2 Timothy 3:15. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It's telling you the Scriptures will make you wise. It'll build your faith. Strengthen you. It says all scripture is given by what? Now there's a big thing going around. You know what? I believe in preservation. I believe the Word of God is preserved. I also believe it's inspired. And I believe it's inspired. You say, well, a lot of guys will say, it's only inspired in the original language. That's not so. When the Bible says, God said this, he said, I will preserve my word. He said, purify it seven times. So the inspiration can pass down through every every language. God can inspire the word of God. And it can be passed down to every language. All scriptures given by inspiration of God. And you said, well, so I'm just stupid enough to believe it. I'm stupid enough to say, okay, God, the Bible says all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for what? For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be preserved, perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So I'm stupid enough to believe that God's going to keep his word, that God can preserve his word, and God can also inspire his word. And he can inspire it in me. I'm stupid enough to believe that. I can't imagine us standing up at the judgment seat of Christ and saying, and the Lord says, you idiot. Why did you believe that King James Bible was the word of God? You idiot. Why would you believe such a thing? Why would you believe that I could keep my word? I don't know, Lord. I just believe that you were able. You think that's going to happen? I believe a person that believes the King James Bible believes the word of God, and the Lord's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You believe this word. And what a problem is young people and old people alike, they don't get in the book. They don't get their faith built up. Their faith is in everything but the book. Your faith is in your boyfriend or your girlfriend, and they let you down. And then your faith is in this guy, and you have a child, or a girl has a child, or a guy has a girl, and they break up, and she says, you're a stinking bum. You're an idiot. So your faith is put in them, and then before long, you get destroyed. And then all of a sudden you say, I'm going to put my faith in this in my job. And then your job lays you off or fires you. So you put your faith in something other than the word of God, you'll be let down every time. Every time. You'll be let down. Then you say, well, I just don't want to put my faith in nothing. So the world will prepare you, to gear you, not to trust God. And with your life, with your children, with everything else. But when you can have your faith and trust in the Word of God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you put your faith in, then boy, I tell you what the Lord does, he gives you that strength that you know what's in man. You know, like Jesus Christ said, he said, I know what was in man. You'll know what man can do. You know that you can't trust him. As the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy what? Path. So put your trust in the Word of God. Don't put your trust in a job. I've seen a lot of people put trusts in GM and Chrysler and all these other companies that were here in Delaware. And they say, oh, they're going to be around forever. And then they lose their job and they got no. So I trust the Word of God more than I trust you. And you ought to trust the Word of God more than you trust me. Amen? Amen. Now, we can trust each other to a point, but there's a point. And so you can trust God all the way through. That's why I like, man, I can trust him. You know what? Have you ever gone down the road and just be thinking about something and all of a sudden the Lord, somebody call you and they'll tell you something and you go, man, that's the Lord. That's the Lord. What a blessing that is. Now go back to 1 Timothy 3:16. We'll stop right there. All right. 1 Timothy 3:16. And like I said, all the Bibles, all the new Bibles, mastered this. Without controversy, we covered this last week. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And there's a mystery. Godliness, how can you understand? It's hard to understand, but I believe it. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. But then God made you in the same, like he did, like he is. You got a body, soul, and spirit. You got three. God makes things in three. There's three rays of the sun. There's things made threes. And then 3 and 7 are two big numbers, 3 and 7. So 7 days in a week and 7 churches, 7 spirits, 7 all kinds of, God's put in his word. But we'll stop right there, all right? Any questions? Anything? Anybody got any questions?